Let's take our Bibles now and turn to Acts. We're going to begin reading in the end of the second chapter, a couple of verses there in verse 46, 47, then get on into the third chapter today, and be reading up to the sixth verse of the third chapter. Acts chapter 2, beginning to read with verse 46. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come into your house. Lift up our voices in song, and we want, Father, to just have one voice of this family coming to you. And so please, as we sing our praises, as we bring our offerings and unto you, and now we come to share and fellowship over your word. So please that we all listen and learn from your precious word. It's the great book of instruction for us, the great book of learning, and it will give us all the direction we need each and every day. So Father, please, bring those that are lost, that do not know you as their Savior, bring them today to salvation. Those, Father, that are here that know you, it's just going to be a great day to come and spend more time with you and with each other as a family. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have, as the end of the last chapter, chapter 2, they continued daily in one accord in verse 46 and verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. We've spoke of it for many weeks now, the birth of the church. And it's a wonderful time that we have to come. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. We speak of it many times. The church, when it becomes an organization, dies because it's a living organism, and we need to understand that. And it is alive, and we are a part of it, and what a wonderful, great and glorious day, the day that this was given birth, and that was on the day of Pentecost. We have some warnings that Paul gave to a young preacher named Timothy about the church, and I'd like to turn to that scripture verse first here, 2 Timothy. I'm going to have you all over your scripture today, so I hope that you're prepared, because we're going to have quite a study. And so 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and then if you got to Titus, you just went too far. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And we're going to read the first five verses. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry. I'm sad to say that that time has arrived when we have the fables and we have preachers preaching words that just tickle the ears instead of having the truth proclaimed as we find it back in Acts chapter 2, verse 47, the church. It has become an organization. It has almost become more as a country club than it has a social gathering, more than for the church and the body to come to be together and to enjoy each other and enjoy the fellowship. I have one more verse of scripture on our way back to Acts, but we're gonna go a little bit further back to the Gospel of John, John 14:26. John 14:26. We have a great promise here. John 14:26, the Comforter, but the Comforter which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Once again, we are a living organism, not an organization. And we have the teacher and the direction of the Holy Spirit to guide and lead us each and every day. And every believer possesses that. And that's what gives us our unity and our oneness in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the church. And so please keep that in mind. And as the church was given birth here, and they stayed in the doctrine, we find that it's less than 30 years later is when Paul's giving this warning to Timothy, telling him, be aware of this, because there's going to be false teachers there. And sad to say, today I believe we have more false teachers than we have true teachers of the Word of God. And so we come now, and we find it in chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. We find in verse 46 of the past of the last chapter that they daily, with one accord, went into the temple and the breaking of bread. We learn that the disciples visited many times the temple and for daily prayers and worship. It was the custom. This was a place that for centuries their fathers met God, and so that's where they continue to do. We are right now in a transitional period, and these men do not fully understand that we're in the new dispensation. We're in the dispensation of grace. And they have not fully recognized this through this time of transition. They did not realize that this temple belongs to the old way. It belongs to the old economy, the old covenant, and it will be left behind. In the day of grace, we do not worship in a certain place. Yes, we come together here as a church family to worship, but we can pray to our God. We can worship our God any place, any time, and that's an opportunity that we have that the Old Testament saints didn't. They didn't possess the Holy Spirit within their heart to guide and to lead them. There was one place where God came to meet them, and that was through the high priest and then the priest. And we have direct connection with our God because the Lord Jesus has finished the work upon Calvary. He is our high priest, and we have the opportunity to go right to God the Father anytime, anywhere. And what an opportunity that is. And so understand that having the Holy Spirit dwelling in our hearts is the difference. We now are the temple. And so we look here and we find that we could say that Peter and John were prayer partners, because they went up together to during this hour of prayer. This doesn't mean that they went inside the building. They were out in the courtyard where prayers were made and worship took place. We should be praying without ceasing. They had hours of prayer, and they Daniel, he prayed three times a day, and he opened his window. And of course, after the great decree was made with the Medes and the Persians, that concern there. And let's just go back there. I love that story and how Daniel stays. So see if you can find the book of Daniel in your scripture. We're going to go look to Daniel chapter 6. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Daniel. Daniel chapter 6. We're going to read from verse 6 through verse 11. When I'm studying, and I hope that you do the same, you'll look up a cross reference, you look up one verse, but you find yourself then backing up and reading several churches, several verses, and you'll maybe not even get back to the original text that you were looking at. And so Daniel chapter 6, beginning to read with verse 6. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom and the governors and the princes and the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the lion's den. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore King Darius signed, the writing and the decree. Now, when David knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled up on his knees three times a day, and gave prayer, and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. He didn't stop. Now, we know that they were out to catch Daniel, and they did. But that didn't, just because there was a decree, a law made, and you think, boy, how could people make such a law as this? Well, you just check the laws we have today, and you won't have to wonder that the history is repeating itself. But Daniel, he was a faithful prayer warrior. Three times a day, morning, noon, and night, he prayed. And here we find with Peter and John that this was the ninth hour. That would have been about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That would be called the evening prayer. And so that's what they went up to the temple to take care of. Now, in attending, and again, we're in a transitional period here, is the birth of the church and getting away from the temple and the law and into a place where truly you could come and worship and hear the word of God and hear the truth. We find that Peter and John, on their way, they ran into a situation here, a circumstance here. In verse 2, a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. We were told back in the previous chapter, verse 43, that there would be many signs and wonders done by the apostles. Well, here's one of them. We have to a man's eyes, to the flesh, an unbelievable miracle. The Holy Spirit selects this one to record it for us. There was multitudes of them. but this one is recorded so we can see it. The healing of a lame man. This man was lame from birth, mother's womb, from birth. He was carried daily to the gate called Beautiful to ask for alms. He was that's the only way he had means of eating was to beg, and someone had to bring him there. We speak many times about pictures in the Word of God. We have so many wonderful pictures of the Lord Jesus, Abraham, and with offering Isaac. We just have so many of them, and with Abraham sending Eliezer to go get Isaac, his bride Rebecca, and the collecting of the church and bringing them us home, and so many beautiful pictures in the Scripture. So this is going to seem like a strange picture, but it is a very good picture. And who can tell me who this picture, who this is a picture of who? It's a picture of a sinner. This is a picture of a sinner. And we're going to look at that in that light. So again, we've always looked at pictures of the Lord Jesus, and some are very clear and some aren't so clear, but there's so many beautiful pictures of the Lord Jesus. But here, this is the picture of a sinner. And we're going to look through many verses of Scripture concerning the walk that needs to come. So this man presents a perfect picture of the sinner. He could not walk. He never walked. God calls men to walk in his ways, but this is impossible with an unbeliever, as it is impossible for this man to physically walk. We cannot walk in the light of the Lord Jesus without being saved. This man from the mother's womb could not walk. He has never been able to walk, nor can any unbeliever ever walk without the power of being born again. You must be saved to be able to walk. I have many things here to read, and we're going to take our time, and the reason that I'm going to take the time, we're in Exodus, Deuteronomy, 1 Kings, Psalms, Isaiah, Romans on a couple of occasions, because I want you to see that the Lord wants us to walk with him. So let's go all the way back to Exodus 18:20. Exodus chapter 18, verse 20. And the key word that we're going to be looking for in these verses of Scripture is the word walk. Exodus 18:20. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk and work that they must do. So we're giving instruction here. Now, this little talk that Moses is receiving here comes from his father-in-law. And they're beginning to divide up some of the responsibility. But the purpose is that this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee, thou art not able to perform it for thyself alone. And then it comes down to verse 20. Thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, shalt show them the way wherein they must walk and the work that they must do. Now let's go to Deuteronomy 5:33. I've put it all in line for you. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Chapter 5, verse 33. This is after receiving the Ten Commandments. Deuteronomy 5:33, ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. Ye shall walk. Ye shall walk. Each time. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 6. 1 Kings chapter 6. 1 2 Samuel. 1 Kings chapter 6. Verse 11 and 12. First Kings chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. And the word of the Lord came to Solomon, saying, concerning this house which art in building, if thou wilt walk in my statutes and execute my judgments and keep all my commandments to walk in them, then will I perform my word with thee, which I spake unto David thy father. Each time, and we'll end with that, and again, if you would like to write them down and look them up later, be fine, Psalms 84:11, Isaiah 2:5, Romans 4:12, and Romans 8:1, each speak of the same, this walk. And let me confirm to you, by the authority of the Word of God, that it is impossible for a unbeliever, a natural man, to fulfill these commands that God has required. It is impossible to walk in His ways. We cannot walk according to the Spirit without the Spirit of God being present. And we must be born again. He can only walk according to the flesh. We'll go to Romans 8:7. Romans chapter 8, verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So when you're not born again, you know, people try to change their lives before they're born again. And it's truly a waste of time. They need to be born again. Let the Spirit of God begin, but we cannot walk in the ways of God, please our God, without coming by faith to the Lord Jesus. And to the lost, it is just foolishness, and that's confirmed in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now back to Acts chapter 3, verse 2. This lame man, unable to walk under his own power, unable to walk under his own will. It didn't matter how much he willed that he was going to walk. He couldn't. If you're coming to church and I'm going to be a Christian and avoid and go around the cross, you can't will yourself into heaven. You can't will yourself into being not a sinner and a Christian. You must come by the way of the cross. And if you'll remember, as we read this, he was carried daily, laid daily at this gate. Someone else had to carry him. So this lame man, unable to walk under his own power, of his own will, was carried about by the will and the power of another. Now this is very important. This is very important because you see, the sinner is just the same condition. He too is controlled and led by the power of another, held captive by Satan and subject to Satan's will. We need to see this lame man being carried to the step of this gate that's called Beautiful. He cannot will himself there. There is no way that he can get to that gate to beg alms. He is in total control of another. Someone else has to stop by, has to get him, has to bring him to that gate. And maybe it wasn't just one person. Maybe it was several people that were involved in this project of bringing this man here. But he had no control of his destiny. He had no control of his life. This is an unbeliever. An unbeliever has no control of their life. If they want to go to heaven, if they want their sins forgiven, there is no opportunity avoiding the cross of Calvary. Let's look to John chapter 8, verse 44. I said we were going to be in a lot of scripture verses. John chapter 8, verse 44. Ye are of your fathers, this is John 8, 44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. That's every lost person. There's only two. They think, you know, a lost person thinks they're in control, and they don't want to surrender that control unto the Lord. They're too foolish to realize that they are being led by Satan, by the devil. You know, most of you are close enough to the farm that you are familiar with a nose ring for a bull. You can take a 2,000-pound bull, and you put that nose ring in there, and you can lead that bull any place you want to. And that's exactly every believer. Every believer, unbeliever, every lost person has a ring in their nose, and Satan's just leading them around. And they think they're in control. You see their lifestyle. You see what they act and look like today. That's the devil. That's the devil. And the devil's controlling them and guiding them and leading them. And it's just pathetic with the riots and the things that we're seeing today. And it's so, so sad. And I can't imagine how that a kid, a young man, why do you wear your britches down to your knees? Explain that for me. If that isn't satanic, you can't walk, you can't do anything. They're always reaching down, pulling them back up again. Well, pull them up, put a belt on, and go. And it's so sad to watch our young people. It is. And who is the great rebellious one? Satan. And they're following his ways. Now, the saved believers, let's go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. Here's the condition that we are in as believers, if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of our sins. What a joy to be a believer in the Lord Jesus. There are only two classes of people on this earth. There's a sinner that's been saved by the grace of God, and there's a sinner that hasn't been saved that's a child of the devil. That's it. There's two classes of people. You know, they like to put us in the middle class or whatever, but there's really only two classes. There's really only two classes. in this verse, person or persons carry this lame man each day to the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. It's believed that he was placed on the steps that led up to this gate. We are told that this gate is truly a beautiful, beautiful place. The lame man was only at or by the gate, was not inside the gate. This gate, spiritually speaking, is a type of our Lord Jesus. It's the only way to have our sins forgiven. It's the only way to spend eternity in heaven with our Lord is to come by faith to the Lord Jesus. And we're going to go to John chapter 9, chapter 10, verse 9. John chapter 10, verse 9, confirming Scripture with Scripture. John chapter 10, verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and go out and find pasture. What a wonderful walk we have with our Lord Jesus. Those who do not accept Jesus are outside the door, just as the lame man was outside the gate, could not come in. There's no power. There was no way by which he could enter in. And that's exactly the way a lost person is without the Lord Jesus. According to the Word of God, no man can come to God except he be drawn by the Holy Spirit. And we know that when a sinner is drawn by the Spirit, his sins are convicted. He's convicted of his sin. And when he comes by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, he is born again, born of the Spirit, saved by the grace of God. He then enters through the door, born again, and what a miracle this is. It's all brought about by our precious God that seeks to save us, sends that sweet comforter, the Holy Spirit, to come and to guide and to lead us. We read to the sixth verse for a purpose because I knew the time was going to be a problem. And Peter said, silver or gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. We will begin with this verse 6 next week concerning what happened and see whether it is true when you listen to the Word of God that you can walk. So we'll begin there next week. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank and praise you today that we have this wonderful opportunity to come into your house, fellowship over your precious Word. But we have the opportunity to do it every day, any time of the day. It's important, Father, that we have that time of prayer, time of fellowship with you, time to seek your will and seek your way. So, Father, please, touch our hearts with this message. Help us to recognize that when folks say that we're all going to the same place, we're just going about a different way. The way is not to be a member of this church. The way is not to be baptized. But the way is to come by faith to Jesus, be born again, believing that he died on the cross, having our sins, you know, exposed to us and realizing that we must have a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus. Please, Father, put a burning in our hearts for those that are lost, that seem to just be driven down the road straight to hell with the devil. And we've got to get them turned around. We can do that by sharing with them the precious Word, your Word. And please, dear Lord, guide and lead us today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.